Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. On this evening's show, we're going to celebrate the birthdays of John Luther Jones and Percival Lowell. And March 17th being St. Patrick's Day, we'll have some Green songs. But to get us started, last week, March 13th in 1877, Chester Greenwood received a patent. Now, Chester lived in Farmington, Maine. Yeah, and it gets mighty cold in Maine in the winter. So cold that Chester's ears must have gotten cold because it motivated him to invent the earmuff, for which he received his patent. So here in honor of Chester Greenwood and his earmuffs are some songs about ears, starting off with Mal Hallett and his orchestra.
An arm full of you, a soul full of rhythm, who could ever be blue? Public get phrase, but as a pet phrase, it'll do, 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 poo-poo-roo it, soft and cue it, make me happy, you can do it, with a cheerful little earful of the well-known I love you. Thank you. gosh, I miss it, something fearful. And this cheerful little earful is the well-known I love you. Stocks can go down, business slow down, but the milk and honey flow down with a cheerful little earful of the well-known I love you.
From a hit of the week Cardboard record, which went on sale on January 21st, 1931, Vincent Lopez and his orchestra with Jack Parker taking the vocal on Cheerful Little Earful. Ira Gershwin and Billy Rose wrote the lyric, and the music was composed by Harry Warren for Rose's Broadway review Sweet and Low, which also features Would You Like to Take a Walk? And we started the show with Mal Hallett and his orchestra and an Earful of Music from October 15, 1934, with the vocal by Clark Yoakam. Malcolm Hallett was born in Boston, Massachusetts in 1896. His father was a musician, and Malcolm took up the violin, studying at the New England Conservatory of Music. He enlisted in the Army during World War I and wound up in the Army Band, entertaining troops in France. After the war, he played in various bands in hotels and decided to form his own band. He made his first recordings for OK in 1926. Here are a couple more ears full of music for you on Rapidly Rotating Records.
About you, when I talk, I talk about you, when I dream about you. You occupy my every little moment, night and day. Your praises are sung, 'cause I love you so. Your name is on the tip of my tongue everywhere I go. Were your ears burning, baby? I talked about you last night. Were your ears burning, baby? I said you were such a delight. Told everyone I chanced to meet how really sweet you are. How adorable, how caressable, and that you were simply such a darling. Were your ears burning, baby? I told them that you were okay. Where I went, you were the topic of conversation. My heart is burning. How thrilling it really would be if my ears were burning and you said nice little things about me. Such a darling. Oh, were your ears burning, baby? I told them that you were okay. Where I went, you were the topic of conversation. My heart is burning. How thrilling it really would be if my ears were burning and you said nice little sweet little things about me.
America's Sweetheart of Song, Ruth Etting, March 10th, 1934, and Were Your Ears Burning, Baby? Written by Mack Gordon and Harry Revel from the picture Shoot the Works. Ben Burney was in the film, which in England was known as Thank Your Stars. And before Ruth Etting, it was Jan Garber and his orchestra and Tin Ear, written by Phil Wall, pianist in the band, and trumpeter Bob Efros, and recorded February 18, 1928. An earful of music to commemorate Chester Greenwood's patent for the earmuff, and you're hearing it all on Rapidly Rotating Records with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We'll take a trip into the cosmos when we return, right after this. Last week, March 13th, marked the birth in 1855 of Percival Lowell. He graduated from Harvard in 1876 and pursued a career in astronomy. He was particularly interested in Mars and founded the Lowell Observatory in Arizona, which, at an elevation of 7,000 feet, made an excellent observing site. The last 8 years of his life were devoted to searching for a planet beyond Neptune. Lowell died on November 12, 1916, but the search continued, and on Percival Lowell's birthday, March 13, in 1930, it was announced that the planet Pluto had been discovered by Clyde Tombaugh. Well, I don't have any records about planets, but I have a ton of them about stars, and here are four of them, starting off with Perrone's New Orleans Orchestra.
Thank you. don't count when you're counting the stars alone. And Lover's Lane, that shady lane, somehow it seems to be there in vain when you're counting the stars alone. I find all nights are love nights to others I see. To them the stars are love lights, but they're just stars to me. The good old moon, its beams don't count. You dream and dream, but your dreams don't count when you're counting the stars alone.
We don't know who the vocalist was on that record, but the band was the California Ramblers and Counting the Stars Alone from September 13, 1929. Counting the Stars Alone was preceded by Perón's New Orleans Orchestra and Bright Star Blues, written by Armand J. Perón, violinist and leader of the band, Steve Lewis, pianist, and Peter Bocage, the band's trumpeter. Bright Star Blues was recorded on February 15, 1924. Armand Perón owned a barber shop and formed his band in 1918 along with trumpeter Peter Bocage. Continuing this astronomical set of songs on rapidly rotating records, here's Leo Reisman.
Twinkle, twinkle, when the day is done. Crooning a lover's lament till morning when dawn comes through. Singing a song to the stars and dreaming just
on my way to you, on my way to you, I find things to say. I can write poems too when you're far away. When you're far away, I write poems too. But when you are near, my throat goes dry. When you are near, I only sigh. Oh dear, I told every little star just how sweet I think you are. Why haven't I told you? I told ripples in a brook, made my heart an open book. Why haven't I told you? Friends ask me, am I in love? I always answer yes. Might as well confess. If I don't say yes, maybe you may know it too. Oh, my darling, if you do, why haven't you told me, dear? Why haven't you told me? But when you are near, my throat goes dry. When you are near, I only sigh. Oh, dear, I told every little song just how sweet I need you.
With His Majesty's Theater Orchestra, conducted by Chaim Greenbaum, that was Mary Ellis and Jerome Kern's I've Told Every Little Star from the show and film Music in the Air. Mary Ellis was born in New York in 1899. She made her stage debut in New York in 1918 and in 1930 went to England, starring in a number of stage productions. Later, she got into films, including All the King's Horses in 1934 and Glamorous Nights in 1937. I've Told Every Little Star was recorded in London on June 16, 1933. Mary Ellis was preceded by Leo Reisman and his orchestra in 1930, with Lou Conrad performing the vocal on Singing to the Stars. I'm not sure if Percival Lowell sang to the stars as he was looking for Pluto, but there's a set of astronomical songs to celebrate the birthday of Percival Lowell, born March 13, 1855. And you're hearing it all on Rapidly Rotating Records. I'm your host, Glenn Robison, inviting your requests and comments about the show. You can send them by email to glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. or to Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com, or Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. It's all aboard when we return right after this. Last week, March 14th, marked the birth in 1864 in southeast Missouri of John Luther Jones. So who's John Luther Jones? Well, you may know him as Casey Jones, railroad engineer and subject of the Ballad of Casey Jones. His nickname of Casey came from the town of Casey, Kentucky, where he moved as a boy. Later, he moved to Jackson, Tennessee, where he got married, had three children, and worked for the Illinois Central Railroad. Casey was killed in a passenger train wreck in Vaughan, Mississippi, on April 30, 1900, at 3:52 in the morning on a run from Memphis to Canton, Mississippi. He was the only one killed in the wreck. Popular legend has it that Casey stayed with the train to slow it down as much as possible, saving passengers and crew from injury and death. The Illinois Central's investigation concluded that Engineer Jones was solely responsible for the accident as a consequence of not having properly responded to flag signals. Well, whatever you want to believe, Casey Jones is buried in Mount Calvary Cemetery on Hardy Street in East Jackson, Tennessee, and was made famous by the ballad originally written by Wallace Saunders, an engine wiper in Canton, Mississippi. Here's Billy Murray and the American Quartet in 1910 and their version of Casey Jones.
Come all ye round us if you want to hear a story about a brave engineer. Casey Jones was a rounder's name. On a 6-8 wheeler boy, he won his fame. The caller called Casey at 4:30, kissed his wife at the station door, mounted to the cabin with his orders in his hand, then he took his farewell trip to that promised land. Casey Jones mounted to the cabin, Casey Jones with his orders in his hand, Casey Jones mounted to the cabin, and he took his farewell trip to that promised land. Put in your water and shovel in your coal, put your head out the window, watch the drivers roll. I'll run her till she leaves the rail, 'cause I'm 8 hours late with that western mail. He looked at his watch and the watch was slow. He looked at the water and the water was low. He turned to the fireman and he said, we are going to reach Frisco, but we'll all be dead. Casey Jones are going to reach Frisco. Casey Jones, but we'll all be dead. Casey Jones gonna reach Frisco, we're gonna reach Frisco, but we'll all be dead. Casey pulled up that Reno hill, tooted for the crossing with an awful shrill. The switchman knew by the engine's moan that the man at the throttle was Casey Jones. He pulled up within 2 miles of the place. Number 4 stared him right in the face. He turned to the fireman, said, boy, you better jump, 'cause there's 2 locomotives that are going to bump. Casey Jones, 2 locomotives, Casey Jones, that are going to bump. Casey Jones, 2 locomotives, there's 2 locomotives that are going to bump. Casey said just before he died, there's 2 more roads that I'd like to ride. The fireman said, what can they be? He said the Southern Pacific and the Santa Sea. Mrs. Jones sat on her bed a sign, just received a message that Casey was dying. Said, go to bed, children, and hush your crying, 'cause you got another pop on the Salt Lake line. Mrs. Casey Jones got another papa, Mrs. Casey Jones, on the Salt Lake line. Mrs. Casey Jones got another papa, you got another papa on the Salt Lake line.
Oh, no. dear, like on it, green and out in front. Oh, la la,
Cannon's Jug Stompers and Big Railroad Blues. Banjoist Gus Cannon was from Mississippi and had begun playing before the turn of the century. In 1916, he was farming in Ripley, Tennessee, and formed his jug band, which consisted of Noah Lewis, harmonicist, and Ashley Thompson, guitarist and vocalist. Noah Lewis also recorded with his own jug band. And before Big Railroad Blues, we heard the American Quartet in 1910 and Casey Jones. There were a number of ensembles known as the American Quartet. This most popular one was formed in 1909 and originally consisted of first tenor John Beeling, second tenor Billy Murray, baritone Steve Porter, and bass William F. Hooley. Continuing this set of songs about the high iron, here's Vic Myers' Atlanta Melody Artists. This recording starts out a little slow, but give it a chance. It takes off about halfway through.
WSB. The Voice of the South. Radio phone broadcasting station of the Atlanta Journal. Atlanta, Georgia, now presenting the Vic Myers Melody Artist, radio jazzologist in their syncopating blues, flag that train, all aboard.
What is Pod, College Park, Hatesville, Milledgeville, and Palmsville?
Conductor, conductor, stop this train. I have forgotten my platypus. Thank you.
was in the year of 89 on that old Chicago line when the winter wind was blowing shrill. The rails were froze, the wheels were cold, and then the air brakes wouldn't hold, and number 9 came roaring down the hill. Oh, the runaway train came down the track and she blew. The runaway train came down the track and she blew. The runaway train come down the track, the whistle wide and the throttle back, and she blew. Oh, the engineer said the train must halt, and she blew. The engineer said the train must halt, and she blew. The engineer said the train must halt, he said it was all the fireman's fault, and she blew, 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 blew. The fireman said he rang the bell and she blew. The fireman said he rang the bell and she blew. The fireman said he rang the bell. The engineer said you did like and she blew. Oh, the porter got an awful fright and she blew. The porter got an awful fright and she blew. The porter got an awful fright. He got so scared that he turned white and she blew. Oh, a drummer sat in the parlor car and she blew. A drummer sat in the parlor car and she blew. A drummer sat in the parlor car and he nearly swallowed a fat cigar and she blew, 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 blew. The runaway train went over the hill and she blew. The runaway train went over the hill and she blew. The runaway train went over the hill and the last we heard she was going still and she blew, 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 blew.
Some railroad songs to commemorate the birth of John Luther Casey Jones, born March 14, 1864. We just heard Vernon Dalhart and That Runaway Train, written by Carson Robison and Vernon Dalhart, who wrote the song as Gus Massey, and whose real name was Marion Tri-Slaughter. That Runaway Train was recorded in London in March of 1931. And before That Runaway Train, it was radio jazzologist Vic Myers and his Atlanta Melody Artists and Flag That Train to Alabama over WSB, the Voice of the South. And this is Glenn Robison, the voice of Rapidly Rotating Records, toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. I'll be back right after this. March 17th is, of course, St. Patrick's Day. In 432, Bishop Patrick left his home in England and went to Ireland to introduce Christianity to the Irish people. Many legends surround Bishop Patrick, the most famous being that he had charmed all the snakes into the sea, making Ireland serpent-free. He was made the patron saint of Ireland, and St. Patrick's Day has been celebrated in Ireland on March 17th ever since 461. St. Patrick's Day is still a legal national holiday in Ireland and Northern Ireland. As Irish people emigrated to all parts of the world, they brought their holiday with them. Those who came to New York formed the first St. Patrick's Day parade in 1762, and it's been an annual event ever since. It's the largest St. Patrick's Day parade anywhere, with over 2 million people lining New York City's Fifth Avenue to view more than 125,000 marchers. The color green, which is associated with St. Patrick's Day, comes from the green-leafed clover, which St. Patrick is said to have used to illustrate the Trinity. So here, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, are some green songs, starting off with the Volunteer Firemen. Thank you.
Said that the weather ahead will soon be bright, and I think he's right. cause the grass is getting greener all the time. And my lovey just said, when the roses are red, we'll name the day. And I'm glad to say that the grass is getting greener all the time. Is she wonderful? Swell. Am I glad that I fell? Does she go for me? Well, we're both saving for the ring. With a Tweedledum-Dee, all the birdies and me rehearse our song. And it won't be long, cause the grass is getting greener all the time.
Some green songs to commemorate St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. We begin with the Volunteer Fireman, a pseudonym for... That's right, Harry Reaser. That was Al Bernard and Frank Camplain with the vocal duet on In Your Green Hat from January 7th, 1926. Then it was Gene Goldkett's book Cadillac Orchestra from September 27th, 1926, and There's a Little White House on a Little Green Hill. That record is courtesy of Martin Smith. And we wrapped up this green segment and the show with Victor Young and his orchestra and The Grass is Getting Greener. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm glad you chose to spend the last hour listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll tune in or click in again next week for more rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s and music to which you can't not tap your toes. In the meantime, if you're listening to us on streaming audio over the internet, I hope you'll take a minute and send an email with a request, comment about the show, or just to let me know where you're listening from. The address is glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com, or you can send postal mail to Post Office Box 145, Claremont, California 91711. That's glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. or P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California 91711. You're also invited to stop by the website at www.rapidlyrotatingrecords.com to sign up for the weekly playlist and play the Jeopardy-type vintage music trivia game. Until next week, this is Glenn Robison. Thank you for your very kind attention.